Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It is the Anfield Wrap after a classic at Anfield. Whether we like it or not, it was a classic. You do feel at times Liverpool get involved in too many classics, but when you get one, it makes you feel like it's a joy to be alive. It was the absolute business yesterday. With me, I've got Neil Jones, I've got Jake Nolan, I've got Ian Ryan. We'll have a clip from post-match pints with Stu Wright and Chris Walsh to come as well during this, whether you're listening to it as audio or watching it as video on YouTube, whatever you're doing. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Neil Jones, I'll go to you first, because it's a difficult game to talk about. It's not even quite a game of two halves. It's a game of 35 minutes where Liverpool were absolutely dreadful, and then a game of 55, 60, 65 minutes where Liverpool were absolutely brilliant. And Arsenal had to suffer and hang on for dear life. I was enthralled by it. It was a great game.
It really was, yeah. I mean, the amount of Liverpool fans who, obviously where I sit in the main stand, is right by one of the exits, so see the same faces every game, and lots now stop and have a chat before the game and afterwards. And the amount who come through, not usually it's a moan on the way out, it's, oh, that referee or whatever. And people just seem to have enjoyed it, you know, which... If you'd have told me that after half an hour, I wouldn't have given you decent odds on that. I mean, I read back the stuff I'd written yesterday, and I read actually player ratings.
And are you allowed to put two numbers?
And, well, I wish I'd made that point, to be honest. I wish you'd been there yesterday. But I was reading it back thinking, I've done Canate wrong there, I've done Trent wrong there, you know. Fabinho was better than, and then you think, that's, no, they weren't, because after half an hour, I'd have taken all of them off. You know, that they were that bad. So it's always better when it goes that way, isn't it? In a game, rather than the first half an hour be brilliant and then the last hour be terrible, and you're coming away sort of really deflated of the idea of a 2-2 draw. But I think in the cold light of day, I think both teams will be sort of upbeat without being satisfied. I would say would be the way I'd put it. You know, they can cling to something from it, but I think they'll both have a lot of regrets as well from the game when they analyse it.
I just want to come back to you on the idea of them, because we're going to talk a lot about Liverpool, but I want to talk about them. I think Liverpool are terrible for 30 minutes, and then it turns, and they're absolutely brilliant. I don't think Arsenal are ever terrible. I think this is an important point. I think the hanging on, don't get me wrong, the battling, I thought the goalkeeper obviously plays well. I thought Gabriel was excellent throughout. I thought he was their outfield player who kept his head the best, because I think they begin to lose their minds a little bit. But I think it's worth pointing out that when Arsenal were on top, they either made Liverpool be awful or Liverpool were just awful. When Liverpool were on top, even though they were on top for longer, and I would almost say more emphatically on top, Arsenal never quite capitulates. They're never as bad as Liverpool were.
Yeah, I think Arsenal made mistakes, and I think the manager made the mistake. When you bring on a centre back and going five at the back, I do think it sent a message. I think Arsenal could and should have taken more advantage of Liverpool in the second half. The obvious point to make is that when Liverpool weren't throwing everything at it, they were easy to play through. They should have been a lot easier to play through when they were throwing everything at it. Yep. I mean, there was ample opportunity for Arsenal to break and do more than they did. I think that was the first time you saw Arsenal look over the edge and go, oh, this is the Premier League we're fighting for. And I also think you saw the limitations. I've had it all season. I think Arsenal have been brilliant, really, really good side. But they're not a side that belongs where they are at the moment. They're going to have to prove it. And they're going to have to surprise a lot of people. So, and I include the goalkeeper. I don't think the goalkeeper was as good as people make it out. I don't think he's as good. But you look at Ben White, you look at Granit Xhaka, you look at, you know, I don't know, Zinchenko played left back, but the other centre back, Rob Holding. You're not looking at them thinking, well, these are going to these are going to stand tough in this environment. You're more expecting to wilt than you do to stand up. So I think they'll come away and think, okay, we've got out of dodge a little bit with a point, but we've also seen a little bit. They've got to go to Newcastle. They've got to go to Manchester City. You know, there's going to be games where even games that you look at and say, oh, that'll be easy for Arsenal, they're gonna feel tough, because we know what it's like when you're in a title race. They become 2-1s and 1-0s and you know, an hour gone and it's level. So I think they got a little bit of a wake up that, okay, we've been on a roll now, but it can easily go, and some of these players can remember who they are.
The order allows us to get the bad stuff out the way first, Ian Ryan. So let's be clear, first and foremost, Arsenal do start well. They start with a really, really high press. They're really, really engaged in Liverpool's final third, locking on all over the place. And Liverpool are dreadful. They don't deal with it. They don't even seem to have a plan for it. When I was at my most exasperated by about 25 minutes, I was exasperated in terms of nothing these are doing is a surprise to me. So why aren't we dealing with it better? And for me, that's been the case too often this season. It does turn, and we'll talk about when it turns. But that first 20, 25 minutes, Liverpool were absolutely abject.
Yeah, not for the first time. There was a lot of performances in that first 35 minutes that you've seen over a number of games this season, and it played out again. And you kind of go into the match, and you've done this a lot with Liverpool this season, or certainly I have, you just got no idea what to expect. You got literally no idea. Now there's a thing
from us, but not from them. And no, that's the problem from us and not the opposition.
Exactly, because you know our own, we are a different beast than when we go on the road. That's fairly obvious. You know, we've beaten Manchester City, we've beaten Newcastle, albeit in maybe strange circumstances. And we've given, you know, Manchester United, a real pasting and stuff. So, you know, on the day, if you catch Liverpool on the day, it can be a really, really tough encounter. But that first half an hour, it was probably everything Arsenal wanted it to be. It was passive. Liverpool weren't getting close to men, and they were able to just cut through us and stuff without doing anything spectacular, to be honest. I mean, obviously, the first goal, there's a little bit of luck about it because Robertson slipped. But then after that, it's not particularly great from Liverpool. And you could argue just the second goal similar, far too much space. You know, Konate has to go out and all of a sudden you're two down. But then you do get the reaction. And I think it was interesting. A lot of people have spoken about Granit Xhaka, and obviously he gets Liverpool fired up, and he does, but he literally plays like that all the time. That is Granit Xhaka. And he's been actually quite good for Arsenal this season. And I think they've not been involved in one of those games. So I think they'll come away from it thinking, that's okay. Because, as Neil said, they've not been to Manchester City, they've not been to Newcastle, they've been to Manchester United, but they probably should come out of that with a better result than they do. They fall into a little bit of a trap, but it wasn't like that. It wasn't like a bear pit for 60 minutes, because that's what it becomes. It becomes probably something that most of those Arsenal players have never experienced before. It becomes really on top. And there's some players in there who they would probably rather go into battle with, you know, maybe Saliba being one, where they want him to be part of that team, because I think he is someone you can count on. Rob Holding's probably not that guy, and you see that play out for maybe the kind of penalty and stuff. But I think both sides can look at it and say, in the grand scheme of things, the way the game ebbed and flowed, Liverpool could have been absolutely, you know, it could have been, you know, 3 or 4, and you wouldn't have any complaints, because they were much the better team. And they had a feeling of that, and that's what you're panicking about. That's what you're thinking, this could get a bit naughty, and we could be on the end of something really bad. But it doesn't pan out that way. Liverpool find themselves, the ground find themselves, and some of that is because of Granit Xhaka. And then, you know, it becomes something totally different, and Arsenal struggle to live with it.
The finding of themselves, Jake, is, it's, firstly, let's be clear, it's actually frustrating. If they could find themselves 5 minutes before kickoff, that'd be great. They don't, but they do find themselves. And when it does happen, first and foremost, I mean, that's getting to the end of the show in a sense, but you want it to sustain now, like, play angry like that all the time, please, because you should be angry. There's a lot of things you should be angry about, including each other. But play angry all the time, please, because when they do find themselves and they move into that phase, Liverpool, they are absolutely irresistible. They are practically impossible to face. As Ian says, the ground becomes a bear pit as well. That isn't good for Arsenal. But Liverpool just on the pitch are on Arsenal. All of a sudden, in such a way, it must have been like, for those Arsenal players, they must have known what was going on. Where were these 5 minutes ago? It was like, it just genuinely becomes a completely different game of football.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, first and foremost, I want to know what they're eating for brekkie, because every game we seem to be starting incredibly lame. You know what I mean? Or what they're doing the night before. You know, that's what I'd be asking my team. But yeah, I mean, whether it was the Xhaka thing, or whether it was just a multitude of getting a hold of the game and then potentially slowing down, or all those things at once. We've seen something similar with Arteta than me last season when there was a bit of a turning point. I'd say a bit more of a turning point in that game than this one. But make no mistake, how much these players rely on Anfield. And you're seeing that with Trent, and you're seeing that with the other players. You know they're going through a bad moment, and they know that they're not the best version of themselves. And let's be honest, when we won the league and when we won the Champions League, we probably weren't the best team in the league or best team in Europe, but we got there because of everything aligned. Everything aligned perfectly, form, but also the fans. And you know, we need a bit from them, they need a bit from us. And I think we got that eventually in the end. And don't get me wrong, Liverpool were brilliant for maybe 40 minutes, 45 minutes, but it was kind of powered by the crowd. It wasn't like silky patterns of play or anything like that. I mean, the best moment comes from Trent's goal, doesn't it? Which it's great when he goes down the byline, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's like, come on, lad, that's where you play. You know, for me, Trent's at his best when he's either fizzing them balls across the box or he's whipping them in like Beckham to favour deeper field. So just do that, lad. But yeah, no, when Liverpool got to grips with it, they were brilliant. But fair play to Arsenal because they're as good as a team who come to Anfield.
There's something I think, Neil, with this. For me, what's frustrating in that first 30 minutes is the lack. It's not just the idea that they lack a bit of intensity, that they lack a bit of getting close to people, like Ian says, but they're also short of ideas. Mm. It's both. It's a freshness of approach and a freshness of mind. It's the idea of this is how we're going to play football this day. You know, in both phases, it wasn't as though when they got the ball, suddenly you went, all right, well, they've got a bit about them there and they can create this or create that. They were so flat in possession, out of possession. And as Jake says, you know, what are they having for breakfast? Because they're that far away from where they need to be for that first half an hour. It wasn't just a lack of physicality or anything like that. It was a lack of everything that makes a football team.
Yeah, and we saw it at Chelsea. One thing that's really, really sort of pockmarked Liverpool this season is how often they work the ball back to the goalkeeper, but without, when City do it, you know what they're doing. They're gonna move you out and they're trying to draw you out. When Brighton do it, you know, when they play it around at the back and things like that, you know there's a pip. Liverpool just seems to sort of get themselves in a situation and go, oh God.
It looks amateur.
It'll have to go back to Alisson.
It does look amateur.
And then he ends up, you know, the first half an hour, he was actually Liverpool's most creative player. It was him, if he could hit Salah with a diagonal, wasn't it? Or if he could hit Jota or Gakpo. It was like, that was almost all Liverpool had in terms of attacking output. And you're right, like, it wasn't not a great surprise, was it, that Arsenal was sort of quite confident and coming forward and smelling blood. And obviously once they got in front, they were probably thinking they could have this done by half-time, I would imagine. But Liverpool just, on the ball, I watched on TV the Chelsea game. I thought that was as bad as anything Liverpool have produced all season. Chelsea, in terms of everything about it, I thought it was just a dreadful, dreadful performance. And the worst thing about it was, I was thinking about, if I was on the pitch, there would be about seven players that you'd go to pass to and think, no, not today, mate. Like, I don't fancy you in that situation because you don't want the ball. And in that first half hour, there were seven or eight players who didn't want the ball for Liverpool. And the ones who did couldn't do anything with it. And that's been a little bit of a feature of Liverpool, you know, Wolves, Brighton, Brentford.
On this, it feels to me like they played the way into, and sometimes when the manager speaks, you know, it feels like Liverpool have played the way into crisis at times this season. They've almost accepted we're in a difficult moment, so they've played like we're in a difficult moment. Yeah. Rather than trying to fake it till you make it, there's been an element, I think, where they've gone, no, this is terrible, we're not playing at all well, so what we're going to do is we're going to play worse. We're going to take this step off. And it felt like that was happening against Arsenal as well. It was as though everyone had gone, well, we're crap at the minute, so we need to be like this because we're crap. And then all of a sudden, when it does turn, it's like, no, what you've got to do is you've got to actually up everything. But I feel like Liverpool have accepted, like, almost like this is our current position, this is what we've got to do. That's been happening all season.
I thought there was an interesting thing with Curtis Jones. I don't know if you saw it after the Chelsea game with the Athletic, I think it was in the mix zone, but the Athletic definitely published it, and he said that was a game for me to just earn the manager's trust, so to not do anything.
Yep.
So too simple, and he gets a lot of stick for that. It's probably his biggest weakness, really, isn't it, that he plays too safe. And the one time he really didn't play safe, Liverpool get a goal out of it, didn't he? And he creates something. But I thought that was quite telling. It was sort of like you're not being yourself there, are you? You know, you're sort of you're changing the way you play. And I think a few players have done that. I think you're right. You know, you look at the form of certain players. I mean, Fabinho, again, he was probably the best example of the 35-55, wasn't he? Split, you know, 35 abject, 55 pretty good. Henderson, Robertson, Jota. You know, players who are low on confidence, but then it's obviously there, isn't it? The confidence is there. I think there is an element of sort of talking yourself into that. We just got to get through this period. Where actually, if you come out sort of a little bit fresher and you can just sort of clear your mind, I think you can actually get it a little bit earlier. But give Arsenal some credit. I mean, they've got good footballers, haven't they? You know, Odegaard and Zinchenko and Martinelli, Saka, Gabriel Jesus. I think I know he didn't do much second half. I actually thought he was brilliant, Gabriel Jesus, in terms of like the way he puts himself about and sort of the movement he's got. I think he's some strike in him, and it's sort of. I think City might, if they don't win the league this season, I think City might look at that and go, yeah, probably shouldn't have done that.
They've sold Arsenal, yeah. Two of Arsenal's best four players.
We definitely shouldn't have given them him. But you give them some credit, but I think you have to look at Liverpool and say, I really don't know sort of what the messaging is at the moment in terms of, you know, what the answer is really to get them sort of fired up for games. You know, they've got it in them, but just not often enough.
Let's do the good bit though, which is when they just dismantled them, Ian, from about 35. And that, again, you can say, well, it makes you cross about what you see earlier on. Trying to put that out of my mind in a way, from the moment at which they get through for the Henderson effort and then Salah following it up and sticking it in the back of the net. You just see there that Liverpool find Arsenal not necessarily easy to play through, but really easy to get at. And that, again, Arsenal have not been a side that have been that get-attable. They're 2-0 up. They're, you know, they're full of confidence. And suddenly the game is just Liverpool's. And they do dismantle Arsenal then for all that period of time that follows.
Yeah, they do. And I think, you know, you can talk about being angry because of what goes on before in terms of those first 35, but you're also a little bit angry because of what you've seen throughout the season when you know that they are still capable of periods of play where they can still look like a little bit like the old Liverpool, maybe not quite at the level that we were talking about before where they were winning leagues and European Cups, I get that. But there's still enough in the locker with lots of those players to look far better than what they have this season. That's the frustration. And some of it, you know, I think is down to the players. I think some of it's down to the manager at times as well in terms of structure and setup and all that. But it was a real reminder. And I think, you know, Arsenal, as you said there, they've not been a team where you've been able to get at them that much. But I think most people have always felt there are or there will be moments where you will and you can expose Arsenal. You know, Neil talks about, you know, Jesus and Zinchenko there. The reason they go to Arsenal is because no one thinks they're a threat. You know, Guardiola's not selling them to Arsenal. If he thinks for 1 second they're going to go from fifth to first, that's on no one's radar whatsoever. But they are more than the sum of their parts and they've proven that this season. And there are a couple of real standouts, and Jesus being one. I thought he was good whilst also being really annoying because he goes down an awful lot. But the fans, his manager, will love that because they were very good and very clever at times, just in terms of breaking momentum. So when Liverpool did look like it might get like unbelievably on top, they were just trying to kill a bit of time and take, you know, a minute or two out the game. But credit to Liverpool, you know, there's players still in that first goal that I thought had struggled but step up. You know, Jota had, a tough afternoon, really, on the back of a tough game against Chelsea where you're thinking he's probably got to come off here, but the manager keeps him on, which felt like a bit of a strange decision at the time. But he's really cute and clever in that moment. And, it, you know, Henderson obviously kind of turns it towards Salah, but Jones has done well in the build-up as well. And then from there, you just felt like you hope Liverpool come out second half with the same kind of aggressiveness, and he did. And it got uncomfortable for Arsenal. And I think, you know, I've listened to Arteta post-match, Odegaard as well. I think they're only too aware that at the end of the season, that could be a really good point for them. And I think the way the fixtures play out as well are interesting because City have got an FA Cup semi-final. And I think they've got Leicester before then. But Arsenal have got West Ham away at West Ham, but Newcastle have been there and pumped them for five, and they've got Southampton at home. So there's opportunities there for Arsenal to still go into that game at the Etihad, still clear, and also they could have closed the goal difference out as well. So I think at the end of the season, they could be looking back at that point at Anfield and thinking, my God, that was some point.
They were thinking it was some point, but the Liverpool players do stand up, Jake, and I want to start at the back in terms of talking about that. And I think Konate's 55 is just exceptional. It genuinely, I'll make the joke again. I made it on post-match pint, which we'll go over to in a second. But the joke I made was I was actually watching it with John Gibbons, and he turned to me and he went, "I'm at the point here where I'd forget man of the match. I'd give Konate the Ballon d'Or off the back of the second half." That's how good he was. I mean, he won things he had no right to win. He won things that were out of his comfort zone in terms of position on the pitch. He won balls that just weren't even there. It didn't look like for a second. And there's one tackle in particular that he puts in. It's one of the great...
Xhaka.
Yeah, it is one of the great tackles at Anfield. It's the best thing anyone's done at Anfield this season. I'm including brilliant goals there. It was
it was the epitome of, no, we've had enough of this and we're owning this now. And that was every right the way through Konate's performance. It was genuine leadership.
Yeah, I'm so happy you come to me on that tackle, by the way. feels very on purpose. But no, listen, it's one of the greatest sights in football, and you don't get to see it enough when a tackle's clean like that, and for obvious reasons. But for me, I am so impressed with him as a footballer. When he came, I didn't really know much about him, to be honest with you. And at the time, Gomez and Matip were performing to high levels, and Virgil van Dijk was an alien. But I think we're now at the point where he's our best centre-half. He's just our best centre-half, and I think he's shown that up now over 12 months. And I think as long as he stays fit and we get the best sort of golden years out of Virgil, it's as best that we can hope for. It really is. And the level of maturity that he's shown on that pitch, he basically marked Jesus and Martinelli on his own.
Yeah.
Just to go, yeah.
In the average position.
Yeah, yeah. Just to go. I mean, I haven't, but that's just that.
It's basically that.
So he's just sitting there going, yeah, Trent, you go and do what you want. Sort of Van Dijk kind of goes automatically into the sweeper, and he's there just mopping absolutely everything up. And if he'd have just scored that goal at the end, it would have been one of the greatest centre-half performances that you'd have ever seen, wouldn't it? Genuinely would have been.
It was that good, Neil. In the end, it becomes that good. And it, as Jake says, he's marking two of them in there. We're matching up Arsenal's shape. It allowed Trent to go and play a different game, and it's what it was meant to look like. You get the impression. I believe that he gets a lot of grief off Sky. Obviously, I was in the ground, I don't hear it. But I felt Liverpool were really hanging Trent out to dry first 25. But then it all clicks into where everyone should be. Trent gets to go and put the performance in he gets to put in. But he's able to do it because Konate is able to look after an unbelievable amount of the pitch.
I think there's a change from what I saw sort of first three quarters of the first half. Trent was trying to drop in similar the way that Zinchenko does for them. But I think he starts, and Jordan Henderson just thinks he's a flying winger for a bit, which is mad. But I think he starts to stay wide, like higher and wider. And I think that's when everything begins to kind of click into place.
Yeah, I think the thing about Konate as well is to remember is he's so young. And like Liverpool got Van Dijk, was 27, yeah. Van Dijk. Joel Matip probably around similar age. You know, you look at Sammy Hippier and players like that, you know, they were sort of around. He's got that ahead of him, hopefully, you know, to come. And I know he's played for France in the World Cup, wasn't he? You know, he could have been setting up the World Cup winning goal, couldn't he? You know, with his passing, he's got a lot about him. The question will be, you know, does he grow into the leadership role? Is he a second centre back? You know, I think he's looked a little bit. Chelsea, I thought him and Matip were the shambles, to be fair, you know, in terms of the organisation between the two of them. So has he got that ability to be the dominant centre-back, or do Liverpool have to get another one after Van Dijk to go alongside him? But the potential he's got as a centre-back, you know, Saliba's had a lot of praise this season as he at Arsenal, and, you know, Konate's ahead of him in the pecking order with France. So I think Liverpool have got an absolute gem on their hands. And I think the thing I like most about him is he's obviously got size and speed, but he's got balance as well, and sort of, you know, he's not one of those who'll end up on the floor a lot and sort of, you know, goes over and over commits and things like that. He's in control of situations when he goes wide, and I think that's a massive plus if you're going to play in a team that's at the top of the table, especially one like Liverpool who's going to let the fullbacks go. You need to be able to handle yourself out wide, and we've seen other players, Matip, I think this season's been exposed in that area. I mean, Dejan Lovren's been exposed, you know, for years in those kind of positions, but he looks like he can handle it. And yeah, keeping him fit, keeping him on the pitch, big plus for Liverpool, definitely.
Absolutely, thought he was great. And you've got to remember, you know, Liverpool are playing this, you know, they're still playing this high line, and I think sometimes it's made players look a little bit foolish. You know, you see it a little bit for the second goal, where if you're going to play that line, you have got to get positions right in midfield, and you have got to be in a position to be able to press. And Liverpool far too often this season have not been able to do that. You know, Jordan Henderson can't quite get across before the ball comes down the left-hand side, and then Trent gets a bit exposed. And I think, you know, the conversation around Trent, I think, has been interesting because Stu Wright said something on the show, I think, last week about, you know, national focus, national criticism versus local focus and criticism. I think there's something in that. It resonated with me. I've mentioned it on a couple of different shows where I think at times Trent does get exposed because of the system. You see it for that second goal. But I also think, you know, there are times where he probably could and should be doing a little bit better. You know, I don't think you're being fair and honest if you're not acknowledging at times that he probably could put the afterburners on in certain situations this season and get himself back into position. But I also think the national focus of overanalyzing every mistake he makes is ridiculous. Like, I'm looking forward to the Zinchenko one.
David Lynch put a tweet out, didn't he, and said, can you imagine Trent getting nutmegged?
Well, absolutely. For the last minute equaliser. That's the kind of thing that would tend to happen maybe in a training game, you know, last minute, someone puts it through your legs, then puts a ball over. You know, even Trippier this season, when we go to St. James's, makes a really bad mistake that leads to a goal.
And he's terrible for the sending off Trippier.
But Trippier's a good fullback, and I think we all accept that. Yeah. So we all watch the game, we all see the mistake, it plays out, we move on, case closed. We don't do that with Trent. We overanalyze and I get it. But I think sometimes, because he's one of our own, we can be a little bit, well, we'll defend them to the hilt. And sometimes I'm not always sure that's the right way, because I think it is okay to have a fair and honest conversation about some of his defending this season. As I say, sometimes I think the managers have maybe not helped him with the structure and the setup, but there are times where he could and should be doing a little bit more. And I just wonder, Neil, as we're into this phase of maybe there's nothing to play for, because I think top four's gone now. And me and my half-fella were talking at half-time and thinking, well, if there are these games where there's not loads at stake, do you just try Trent in midfield for a little bit? And let's have a little look at what it looks like. Because if it is a genuine question, how many times in seasons do you get an opportunity to try things? Because you're always playing for something. Liverpool should always be playing for something. They're not playing for anything now. There's 9 games to go, and they've got a genuine chance to have a look at a couple of things. And I just wonder, you know, Leeds is on the horizon, but there's home games as well, but it should be a little bit more comfortable. Could maybe they just look at Trent in the middle of the park in different areas? You've always talked about a number 6. I think if he plays that role, he's got to be next to someone, obviously. But, you know, number 8, does he quite get the room that he wants, that he can sometimes get a fullback? Maybe let's have a little look at it.
Maybe we'll have a little look at it. The wife still think he can get top 4, but they've got to win all 9.
My
problem with this is they show yesterday exactly why they could win all 9, and they show yesterday exactly why they won't win all 9, and that's the problem.
I don't think it's enough. There's almost too many teams in front of them now. I think if you're chasing one down, you can go, well, you're chasing one down, and it's you v them. But there's other teams. I mean, the 9 behind the Spurs team. How the fuck are the 9 behind Spurs? I don't know
what the
game in hand.
I've already told you, Neil. I can't wait for the Europa Conference. It's going to be great. I ain't happy away.
I'm very much of the view, firstly, I think Spurs are crap and they've still got to come to Anfield. United have lost Rashford and they've got too many fixtures in other competitions. They were good against Everton, but Everton made it very, very easy for them indeed. And I think that the Newcastle thing can burst again off one or two bad results. And Newcastle have actually got difficult games. They've still got to play City. They've still got to play Arsenal, if you want to talk about that.
They've played City twice. They lost to the Etihad and they drew 3-3. That's St. James's early in the season.
I don't remember them going to the Etihad.
Yeah, they got beat 2-0.
Oh, right,
2-0
okay.
2-1. Yeah.
My brain didn't process that game at all.
But Neil, regardless of that,
but I don't think we'll win all 9.
Exactly. Liverpool would have to be perfect. And what have you seen this season that suggests we can be perfect?
But my thing on this is I don't think they'll give it up. Until I think they need to lose one more game, if you know what I mean, and then what you're saying I think can happen. I don't think they'll give it up when they think they've got a pathway to getting that many games. So
I understand what Ian's saying there, though, because for me,
I agree.
Yeah, though, for me, I think it's not even necessarily just about this season. Now I think it's almost like next season starts now. Like you can write off whatever happened before, and it's about putting in building blocks for when hopefully a couple of new players comes in and a change of mentality and maybe change of tact. Where I slightly disagree, to be honest with you, is I just don't see him. Like I think everyone wants to pigeonhole him as a midfielder, but I just personally just don't see it. And if you look at the fullbacks who are getting a lot of praise at the moment, the people who are doing the things that he does from fullback quite well, you know, people have been talking about Zinchenko, people have been talking about Reece James, people have been, you know, Guardiola basically said, basically Guardiola said, oh, Kyle Walker can't do what I want him to do. Trent could do that. But the thing that I get a little bit annoyed with sometimes is, I mentioned it before, if you shut your eyes and you imagine that a Trent assist, it's either that Beckham floated one in from deep, or it's the chicken zinger across the box, you know what I mean? And he's not going to do that from number 6, and he's not going to do that. Maybe he might do that from number 8, but if we get him doing it properly from fullback, we'll get 20 assists again this season, and that's what we need.
I think midfield puts his weaknesses up on offer. All his weaknesses.
I agree.
What's Liverpool's weaknesses? They don't cover the ground well enough, they're not aggressive enough off the ball, and they don't have enough sort of idea and nous in there. And I think if you put a right back in there who doesn't necessarily want to chase back, doesn't necessarily want to fly in and be first to everything, I think you're putting him up on offer and Liverpool up on offer, and you're also taking away your weapon, aren't you? You know, who are you going to put it right back?
Him at his best, we get the second goal. Him at his best.
I think on that, I'm not suggesting that that's what we should be doing next season, but I think there's an opportunity to look at it. And I think there's an element of the unknown. Like, no one quite knows what it looks like, yeah. And I'm not saying it has to be Leeds, because Neil's point around, can he still get top four? I don't think he can. But the manager probably thinks there's a chance. So he probably won't do it just yet. But if it gets to the point where that's gone, I wouldn't blame him for having a look at it. And I don't think he's almost maybe not doing his job if he's not looking at it, because I think it's something where Liverpool know they've got to do so much work in the middle of the park. They might just think, well, whether you get European football plays into this, because you might not need to do as much recruitment, although I still want them to do a fair chunk, I have to say that. But I think it's something that they might just want to have a little look at. And I agree. I think he'll get exposed in midfield in certain instances, but it might just be worth having a little look at it.
I wouldn't mind there being a universe, not least because of what we've seen from a couple of sides this season, e.g. when you're playing, for instance, Brentford away, where I'd like there to be a universe where you can have Trent on the pitch, but you can also have four big lads across the back line. So I think he'll always do his best work for Liverpool from right back. But I think having the idea of we can still pick him, we can still involve him, or even just for the last 20 of a game.
What about just right mid? I suppose would be an easier one, where you have Joe Gomez at right back, and you play 4-4-2 or 4-2-3-1, and you have him sort of just on the right but higher up. I get that instant. I just think look at the midfield. Look at the midfields that are dominating the world. They're not Trents. They're players who are 90-minute players who get around the pitch and who've got.
But the midfield will look different next season, though, won't it? Like, I mean, I'm saying he can experiment, but obviously experimenting with the likes of Fabinho and Henderson, there's a good chance those aren't the lads. But it's whether Klopp can look at something and go, well, with the right players around them, if it was a Bellingham, for instance, or if it was a McAllister, is there something in his game where he could play in that position? Maybe not all the time, but maybe in some games, if he's got the right people around him.
I think there's a direction of travel thing, though, in terms of the position as a whole. And that's where I am annoyed with. First and foremost, I think one of the reasons why, and you've got to be careful in this, literally, because you don't want to pull the house of cards down around all of us. But I think one of the reasons why he gets as much focus as he does is everyone knows it does clicks. Everyone knows it does numbers, it does debates, and we're literally doing it here, so let's be crystal clear about this. There's an element of hypocrisy. But also, as part of this, I think that there's a direction of travel for that sort of position, that if you watch other sides who are playing really interesting leading football, they're moving closer to where we ended up to with Trent, if you see what I mean. They've taken from this, and you look at City at the minute, John, a great Stones, example, what they're doing with Stones. Zinchenko yesterday was wild. It was wild where he was playing at times. Gabriel effectively ends up quasi left back, not dissimilar to Konate. And there's times, literally, when they're building play, both with and without the ball, when play is building, you look at Zinchenko and he's effectively playing next to Partey, with Xhaka pushed right the way up there, Gabriel there, no one, Martinelli narrow, no one really playing genuinely on the left for Arsenal, because everyone's coming to here, and that's what they've done this season as part of what's got them. And we've got the, you said there about Stones and Guardiola and Walker, we potentially got the best one.
Exactly.
Got the best one.
I think part of the debate around Trent comes down to just how high his talent level is, and that I think there's a frustration from a general public, not just Liverpool fans, that it's only really obvious things, and really it feels like really easy things. If you just run a bit more, or just move your feet a bit quicker, or just try and head. There was one in the second half which bounced, where he's like, you want him to go and smash him, and he doesn't. He backs off, and in the end, he actually wins the ball back and ends up going down the right. But it's almost like you can do the things we can't dream of doing. Just do the things that we can all do, that we all feel like we can do, and just go and mark someone for a second. And I think that's why the debate around Trent is maybe amplified, is because people can't believe the talent that he's got, but also they sort of, to the opposite side, they can't believe the weaknesses that he's got. It's almost like, how can you do that and not be able to do that? You should surely go in the middle.
Can I guess it a few times only last night? I think if you're going to be a defender, and obviously when you're not as good as you've been, you see less of the ball and therefore you come under more pressure. You've got to love defending. You've got to love the art of it. And I don't think he necessarily kind of loves the art of it in terms of getting back in and making those challenges. I don't think you can question his ability going the other way. He's one of them. He's a generational talent. He's unbelievably safe for the goal. It's ridiculous. But there's also other parts of the game yesterday where his passing is just off the scale. Like, he just shouldn't be that good with the ball, but he is that good with the ball. And I think it's a real interesting one for Liverpool in terms of what they do. I think it really is.
The really strange thing about him is, in a game with Odegaard and in a game with Thiago and in a game even with Mo Salah, the ball Salah puts through for Nunez for the one-on-one, the best passer of the ball in the pitch is Trent Alexander-Arnold.
By a mile.
Just to go back to your point on direction of travel of the position, it is interesting, isn't it, that the three top teams in the league
City play four centre backs a lot of the time. You know, they play Ake and Stones as the right, or Akanji.
Akanji, yeah.
Obviously, Arsenal got Ben White, who's a converted centre back, and Newcastle got an absolute giant at left back in Dan Byrne. Who's, you know, it's very different, isn't it? It did feel like sort of it was moving towards these like sort of quarterback, sort of right backs all over the place. I know Trippier plays and Reece James and people like that, but it does feel like there's almost been, I don't know, is there just an element of almost separating the team a little bit and saying, oh, we're going to have these are going to stay back, and then we're going to sort of move, we're going to have a creative sort of block of players. You might see that. I mean, maybe it's just the way the season's turned out, but City have sort of tossed off, you know, one of the best fullback in the league potentially last season, haven't he, and given away to Bayern Munich. They've got rid of Zinchenko to Arsenal. Is there a sort of a little bit of a shift and sort of, no, we might actually need to have more defenders back there?
This hasn't been said enough as well, I don't think, about this Liverpool team this season, in the sense of what we're talking about and what we've seen yesterday was effectively, for me anyway, probably Liverpool's best team minus Curtis Jones for Thiago, and I think a lot of people would say that. We haven't had the chance to do that. I don't think he's had the chance to do it as much as he would like. I don't think he's had the chance to, you know, if you swap Konate from that team, for example, and put Joe Gomez or Matip in there, Trent can't play there. If you swap Harvey Elliott for Henderson, he can't do that. It's so dependent on who's around there. And I think City can do that because they can drop X and put Y in. When we drop X and put B in. Such different players, and we're set up completely different week on week.
All right, clip from post-match Pint.
Liverpool deserve nothing because you can't start football matches against top of the table at home like that. And Liverpool deserve everything because it's arguably, in terms of sheer fucking urgency, the best 50 minutes of football they've played all season. This is a really weird football team, Stu. And in the end, Arsenal get out of jail. Gabriel plays brilliantly for them. Ramsdale plays brilliantly for them. But the rest of them are fucking passengers second half. Liverpool, the business second half. But simultaneously, it's mad to say, it's got to be better.
Yeah, it's got to be better. I mean, I hated them. For the first 30 minutes, I hated them like I've never hated a Liverpool team more in my life. I absolutely despised everything I saw for the first 30 minutes. And then after that, they were tremendous. That last hour, they were everything that you'd want from a Liverpool team, except for the fact that I felt that they were banging on the door and would have been banging on the door till Christmas until Bobby Firmino comes on. And I do think he unlocks them. I do think he is the difference maker in the team when he comes on. Or suddenly, you know, there's someone who can hold the ball up and they can see space ahead of them. And just bring others into play.
Everything, I think it's just one more attacker that was shooing away. Like, I think it's just one more, because Arsenal play in this mad shape that works brilliantly for them for 35 minutes, and then suddenly there's fucking gaps everywhere, and I'm not even clear who's playing centre-half, if you know what I mean.
No, I think it's more than that. I'm a big, you know, big disclaimer, I'm a massive Firmino fan, and I think we'll potentially letting him go in the summer. I'd love to see him being able to play that role next year, you know, coming off the bench and helping us out in games, because for me, everything makes sense when he comes onto the pitch. The other forwards, as I say, they could have been there till Christmas, and I'm not sure they'd have broke through. We had loads of the ball, we had loads of energy, loads of opportunity, but when he comes on, things just seem to gel, seems to come together. Someone with a brain puts the foot on the ball and is closing down. I mean, he hasn't got 90 minutes in to close down their defenders anymore, but he was able to do it for a good 20 minutes there. I'd have liked to have seen him sooner. You know, you could go through the team and really wax lyrical about the performance after the first 30 minutes. Loads of things which were not functioning all of a sudden seem to work, but it shouldn't come to that. It shouldn't come to the fact we're 2-0 down, getting absolutely undressed at home before we suddenly have to play angry.
Welcome back. Let's talk about the other bits and pieces. That right side worked really, really well, Ian. But on the left, I think Robertson he's almost a little bit more dangled out. Salah, Henderson, Trent, they're a unit, they do what they do. It feels to me a little bit at times when it goes badly, it feels like Robertson's very much on his own. But even when it went well yesterday, I feel as though Robertson's almost left to be a little bit of a one-man left-hand side in there as well, in terms of the way in which he gets up and down. And you see him as another one of these performances, which is chalk and cheese. 35 minutes, he's absolutely nowhere. And for 55 minutes, he is the best cheese.
Yeah, Cheddar. And obviously, you know, he gets John Fashanu at half time, doesn't he? By the linesman, which is absolutely fucking wild. just can't get over it. Honestly, just can't get over it.
It is so mad.
Someone put a piece out saying, or they put out on Twitter saying, we've got to protect our linesmen at all costs. And I'm thinking, fucking, that's some take. You know what I mean?
I didn't know you followed Howard Webb.
But someone's got him. So I think, yeah, I mean, what I would say is, and you've noticed it certainly in kind of recent games, you know, teams are no longer afraid to attack that side. So both Arsenal and City get joy and get goals from attacking, you know, Liverpool's left-hand side. And I think, you know, Robertson, there's been a lot of chop and change there as well. So I think when we talk about Sadio Mane leaving the club and obviously he moved central towards, you know, the end of his time, I think you can't underestimate just what a kind of link that was between those two footballers. And we know Sadio Mane's powers were waning from a wide forward point of view, but they had a real understanding and they played every game. They played every game together and it's very different now, you know.
And Wijnaldum, that three was
a really powerful three. Everyone knew each other's job, and that's something that's changed a lot. And Liverpool, obviously, because of the injuries, you know, Luis Diaz got mentioned there. I think Luis Diaz was playing great for Liverpool. He was arguably, you know, Liverpool's best outfield player until he gets injured. And it's obviously against Arsenal. I think he gets the injury, doesn't he? But I think they've missed him. And then, you know, you've seen a little bit of Nunes in there. Then there's Jota in there. So it's there's not a great balance there. But I do think there's something around, you know, Liverpool do look a little bit susceptible now, that side. And people are having a go with Van Dijk all of a sudden. You know, at this kind of mythical status where no one had ever go down the side. And Trent would always get the kind of attack, wouldn't he? And as you always say, you've got to go somewhere. Doesn't feel like it's quite that anymore. Teams are willing to go
everywhere.
Down, go everywhere. Honestly, there's fucking gaps all over the show. So, and I think Van Dijk put something out on his social, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, but he talked about, you know, team performances not being as good, but also individual performances. And I think he's looking at himself and saying, I've been well below, but not too dissimilar to Trent. There's always a focus on Virgil. There's always a let's analyse his performances to kind of the really small degrees, and that's comparing to Terry and Vidic and people like that. I mean, good luck if you're playing Vidic in a high line, by the way, or even John Terry, who was a great centre half, but they're not able to play in a system that Liverpool operate. Let's have it right. And John Terry's one of the greats at the Premier League at doing what he did, but he wouldn't play that high up the pitch because he'd get exposed. So you've got to remember all that when you're talking about kind of systems and setups and who's good and who's not. But yeah, there's work to be done there. And I think you can look across the board at Liverpool this season and just say there's lots of players who they'll probably look at themselves in the mirror come May, June and say, I could and should be doing better. And I think you'll see that. I think you'll see an improvement. I think we've got to the stage now where it's almost come in little phases where they've accepted they can't win the league. And that's a kick in the stomach. And they've kind of almost felt sorry for themselves for a bit. And then there's the next bit where we can't win the European Cup. We feel sorry for ourselves a little bit. And then we probably can't get top four and we're feeling sorry for ourselves a little bit. But yesterday, you know, something changed in that ground. And then you see that play out with the second half performance.
You see it play out with the second half performance, Jake, but, and this is the big but, we've talked about how good they were, how dynamic they were. You know, we've really emphasised the quality of them. They've got to be scoring more than two goals. The expected goals is touching four, which is outrageous, by the way, against the league leaders. You very rarely see that. You know, I don't think it touches four. It might not even hit four when they put nine past Bournemouth. Let's be clear. You've got to, in that instance, there's two very obvious, you know, misses. One's the pen. The other one's the Nunez one-on-one. There's obviously the Canate thing late. There's other stuff late as well. They've got to be scoring more than two goals under that circumstance. You know, we've been very nice about them in a number of ways, the way in which they turn it, but haven't turned it. They've just got to be more clinical. They really have, because if they are more clinical, you win that game 4-2.
Yeah, I mean, it helps if Salah puts in that pen, doesn't it? But in a lot,
it does help. Say what you want.
It doesn't make things worse. No,
but what I would say is I was almost as pissed off with Darwin's miss than I was the pen in a lot of ways, because for me it just kind of felt like a similar instance. It kind of felt, you know, you mentioned before that Ramsdale's coming out of his goal in an absolute mess. It felt like he had that all the time in the world, and it's like
Ramsdale did a Dean Henderson and made himself smaller.
Yeah.
I was stunned by it,
but also it's like what do you want your chance to fall to your inside left forward position? That's like You know, that's like what he should be calling. He should be curving it in the corner. He should be going through the keeper's legs. He can chip the keeper if he wants. He could be doing all those things except just like toe it at the keeper. You know what I mean?
Half run into him in the process.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know, the pace he's got to burn. But I think that's what I was talking about before, all stemming back to the Trent thing from fullback as well. Because the thing that you get chances from having a way of playing, having a pattern of play and all that. And I think what happened yesterday is Liverpool rolled up the sleeve and battled and the crowd got behind them, and it felt like a very sort of European-style performance. But what we aren't seeing is we aren't seeing a great football team that knows what they're doing, that knows exactly how they're set up to play, that knows exactly, you know, where everything is clicking up top. You know, we probably don't even know which is our best forward line, and we don't know, you know, exactly where we should be. So I think once that happens, that's when the chances will be coming and be free-flowing, and that's ultimately, that's probably next season.
The idea of carving out the very good opportunity, Neil, it isn't quite there. But in that instance, the Nunez one, it's a brilliant ball from Salah, and he does know where he'll be. He knows if I play it into this space at this time with what this fella's got, he can get in. Nails it, everything comes together. It is a penalty. Do you know, like, it's a penalty that they're missing there in those instances. I do think that they showed over and over, Liverpool, that they are able to get into the penalty box of the league leaders with ease, and they should do a bit better when they get there in general.
What was the stat? 19 shots in the penalty area, the most ever against Arsenal?
Yeah.
Since he started doing those stats, which 2003.
And they scored a lot of goals.
21 shots, wasn't it, in total, they had against Arsenal. I mean, I think I've been speaking to someone, or a couple of people at Liverpool this season on the technical side, after games, you know, you just have that text exchange, and one of the things, the second ball, win the second ball, win the game, win the second ball, win the game, and Liverpool won the second ball for an hour and should have won the game, shouldn't he? You know, sustaining attacks, I think Gary Neville uses that phrase.
Keeping the ball alive.
Sustain. How many times did Arsenal clear it? And it looked aimless because Liverpool had players in the right position to just pick up the second ball. Thiago done it really well when he come on. The two centre-backs done it really well. And in the first half, Curtis Jones, Jordan Henderson didn't do it well, did they? They were just off it. And they did get chances. I mean, the one worry I've had with Liverpool more than anything, and I think probably this feeds into it, is that we'll draw conclusions from this game, and we probably shouldn't, because this is what Liverpool have done all season. This was in keeping with Liverpool's season, really. Home game against Arsenal, crowd right on it. Yeah, they played well for an hour. They've not done it against Leeds away or you know, Bournemouth away or Nottingham Forest or whoever. They you wouldn't be surprised if it goes back to that. And what it looks like in those games is Liverpool don't know how they're going to score a goal beyond a set piece.
They haven't scored a goal away from home against any of the bottom 10.
There you go. Well, there you go. And the two games I can think of, the Bournemouth and the Forest ones.
Okay, now
they were all, it was Van Dijk headers, wasn't it, from set pieces. That was sort of Liverpool's chances in the game, and you say, okay, yeah, but that, you're still allowed to score from set piece. But Liverpool never looked like they were going to score from open play. Chelsea, I mean, the best effort of the game was Joe Gomez. The second best was Jamie Carragher in the Sky build-up, wasn't it, from when he's trying to recreate Sturridge's goal. They've got to fix that. They've got to start winning second balls. And if you do that, you're just naturally high up the pitch, aren't you? And you're able to get the ball into the penalty area. They had huge success with that, with remembering those old movements. Gets wide to Salah. Henderson does his Henderson run, or Trent does his that. And that's how they get the goal in the end, isn't it? From sort of keeping the ball alive, keeping the ball moving, and remembering those little automations that they've had for years, where it's like, you know what, when we get in that position, it goes there and it goes across the box, and then we've got bodies in there, and that's just not been there, has it, in enough games this season. It's been there in certain games, Manchester United, and you know, I thought Everton, they played pretty well in that regard. There's been other ones, but you want to see it now away
from
home.
They do it brilliantly at Newcastle for the 15 minutes before it goes to...
I've missed that game, to be fair.
But for the 15-20 minutes, the away game at Newcastle, they keep things alive brilliantly. They build pressure really, really well. There's so many games away from home where they haven't, and I want to talk about that. That's what they do to Arsenal in this game. They break them in through those periods. They create those chances that they create by breaking them, by effectively just keeping it alive. And you talked before, I want to get onto the officiating and the time wasting. Arsenal basically flag that, because Arsenal are desperate to take momentum away from the game. Yeah. And I think away from home, Liverpool have been terrible at allowing the other team to dictate, allowing the other team to decide the pace the game's played at. And you get to see yesterday, Liverpool, when it was played on Liverpool's terms, and games have not been played on Liverpool's terms enough, but when that's played on Liverpool's terms, Arsenal can't live with it, they can't cope with it. And they're absolutely desperate to stop it from happening at every opportunity.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, you've got to maybe give Arsenal a little bit of credit. It's not great on the eye if you're in Anfield, and you obviously, you know, want a Liverpool win if players keep going down and feeling an injury. But, you know, if you're going to their place and you're doing the same, then you're right behind it, aren't you? That's just the way football works. You want to get over the line by hook or by crook. So I think far too often this season, Liverpool, that's that's a thing, that playing on your own terms. You know, Liverpool won it on their own terms, but you're not always going to get that.
And you've got to earn that.
And you've got to earn it as well. And that's where, you know, the falling short far too often. And, you know, you see a real example of it where, you know, some of that darker art stuff, I've always said it, even when Liverpool were at the very best, I think they could have been better at some of that. You know, the Rodri stuff did a week at City. Fucking hell, how frustrating was that? You've got him right where you want him. And yes, he probably should have walked. We know that. But you get him sent off within the next 10 or 15 minutes. A real kind of, you know, top elite team who was schooled in the Dark Arts. They get Rodri into
every
a mess.
Every player plays goal side of Rodri for 5 minutes. Honestly, I'm just putting the ball there.
Just get him into a mess because his head had gone a little bit. So I think Liverpool have got to be better at that at times. And listen, Leeds will be a very, very different test. You know, I know Roy Hodgson seems to have turned Crystal Palace into fucking Real Madrid. And you go get him whacking for five, which is just bananas, by the way. But
just on that, Dark Art, that's... Ian said earlier that's how Xhaka plays, but I think that's why that's for Arsenal. I think they should have him up against the wall today, Xhaka. Not necessarily because the whole game hinged on this, but it was because you'd done all those. And so what Xhaka should have done what his little leaving an arm in, and then hit the deck as hard as he could. As soon as Trent put his hands on his back, Xhaka should have been starfish.
Like Harry Kane.
Like Harry Kane. And he probably wouldn't have got sent off, Trent. But you get up, Trent gets booked, you don't. The crowd, you grin at the crowd and give a laugh.
And the crowd are almost doing a bit of a, we might have got away with one there.
Yeah,
rather
and
than
also, they're probably looking at Trent and saying, what are you doing?
Arteta knew right away, you know. Yeah. Arteta knew right away. And he's the most animated manager normally of all.
He wasn't yesterday.
No, he wasn't, because he learned from what happened last year.
But that's the thing. So Arteta, when he gets asked about that, he can't really come out and crucify Xhaka because he's done the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you can't call me out, mate, because you fell into the exact same trap. And he actually says, Anfield can get a little bit like that, where
the jungle, he called it.
It can just get out of control, and it's difficult. And I think if you are Xhaka and the mentality that he's got, I think he's actually had a decent season, Xhaka, more than a decent season.
But you're right about Liverpool, because I remember Atletico Madrid away last season, wasn't it? And Mane got took off at half time. I think it was half time. Well, certainly early in the second half. I think it was half time. He was on a booking, and Klopp basically said they were trying to get him sent off. But the flip side of that is, well, just tell him not to get sent off. Then, you know, sort of. Just trust them. But you would never. I thought that Ben White got booked in the first half, didn't he, for a cheap one, and there was a bit where I think it was Gakpo running them down the line. I thought I actually said it out loud in the press box, not proud of it. But you go, get him sent off, get him sent, sort of. I want you shoulder to shoulder with him and knock it and see if you can just get at least the crowd asking for him to be sent off and turn it into that. Liverpool maybe have been a little bit too innocent in that kind of way.
The Harry Kane thing got mentioned just then, and listen, again, you know, from an aesthetic point of view, it doesn't look great what Kane does, but he doesn't trust the referee to do his job, so he makes sure he gets the player sent off. Now, in the end, Tottenham fuck it up because they are Tottenham, and that's the way it goes. But if they were going for a title and they win that game 1-0 and he scores the penalty and he gets his opponent sent off, because it is a red card offence, but you can't always trust what the officials are going to do, then if you're a Spurs fan, you're going, well, he's done his fucking job.
At the last minute, Salah should just go down. When he's pulled back, he's got two hands. He should just go down and fight for it and fight for it. Or do the full hit. He should. And Kane would have got a pen.
There is a penalty
potentially on Salah. There's one where he puts it over the bar on the volley where Tierney, I think it's Tierney, isn't it? He's got hold of him, and you think.
But if you stay on your feet, you're never getting that decision. Yeah. We
should have done more to get the linesman sent off as well.
Robertson's got to go down, hasn't he? Robertson's got to hit the deck.
He's got to hit the deck there, make the point. On the whole officiating gamesmanship stuff, Neil, I'm fine with, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's a game. You've got officials, you push the boundaries, they've got to make the smart decisions. I'm not one for morality in football at all, but there's one thing that I think has got to stop with professionals, and I think it's the feigning heads injuries.
I thought you were going to say lines.
No, we'll
come on to that in a minute. That is in the agenda.
I'm going to come on to that in a minute, but I genuinely think the feigning the head, like up to and including, we always hear about the captain's WhatsApps and all that sort of stuff, and I think in the summer they've got to start talking to each other and saying, lads, everything's on the agenda, fill your fucking boots, but don't feign head injuries, because in the end, it's going to end up in a really murky place, I think. Yeah. That rule is in there to protect the footballers in a lot of ways. Yeah. And I genuinely now I'm of the view it is being abused, and Arsenal abused it yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not just Arsenal, obviously.
No, it's not.
Until it's stamped out, it's smart, isn't it? It's clever. Ramsdale started, doesn't he, with something in his eye, isn't it? And Arsenal suddenly have these water bottles ready to give out to the players on the side. I've got a mate who's a referee,
And he said he's only very, very low level, you know, sort of literally Saturday League park football. But he said, you're getting it. And he said, there's nothing you can do. He said, because if someone shouts, it's ref, it's head injury, you can't take the risk and not stop the game. You've got to do it. Yeah, I agree. There's something that needs looking at in terms of, I don't know whether it's a sort of almost a VAR of, I'm going, why is he gone? No, right, okay, you're off. You're off the pitch and for
full tests. You can make an argument if you go down with a head injury and you're saying you are really done in. Yeah. There's a really strong argument. It's 5 minutes of concussion testing. If that's what you've got to do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think there is a possibility for it. Like, yeah. I mean, there was one, I think it was Martinelli, wasn't it, who went down. It was a potential high boot from Konate, maybe. Yeah. And you knew in the ground, you thought, it's high boot. Probably you get a free kick for it because it's dangerous, but there's no, he wasn't touched. And you're down and the game stopped. Jesus was down a few times, wasn't it? Obviously, Ramsdale, I think, he was the one who took one in the face off the shot. Gabriel. I mean, I'd give him the benefit of the doubt that was a bit of a pile driver. But yeah, I think that teams know now, don't they, that the game stops. The game has to stop. Even if you just tell the referee it's a head injury, the game's got to stop, and that does bring with it its own problems, definitely.
A lot of this, Ian, I'm just going to argue with Rob Gutman because I do it in my head all the time. there's this notion, I think, of stop the clock. That stop the clock will solve your football time-wasting problems. I think you get to see yesterday why that's nonsense. Arsenal are not time-wasting because they're trying to look after the results. They're time-wasting to break momentum.
He's been stood down, the linesman.
The linesman's been stood down live, Neil Jones.
There you go.
It's not unreasonable, is it, Neil, that he gets stood down?
No.
What does that mean?
He won't be able to...
Sit down?
Sit down. He won't officiate any matches until the FA come up with some kind of...
I mean, we'll talk about it now. I'll come back around onto my time-wasting points. Ian, it's mad. I feel, there'll be an investigation, everyone has to go through it, there'll be a statement, there'll be this, there'll be that. I'd just sort of be all right if it came out that he's rang Robertson and gone, sorry lads, one of them, and Robertson's gone, don't worry about it, one of them, and everyone can get on with their lives. Now, maybe I'm just naive, but I do feel like there can be a human response here where everyone just gets to go, fucking hell, it was what? Do you remember the time the liner elbowed Robertson? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's surely, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe there does need to be the whole hoo-ha. What do you think?
I mean, it's wild. I mean, obviously, if it was the other way round, you know, you're never seeing Robertson again this season, are you? I mean, you just don't see him again. I mean,
no.
You've seen the Mitrovic thing, and I actually think that's been a little bit... Don't get me wrong, I don't think the Mitrovic thing is good, but it's been blown out of proportion a little bit. I think 8 games did he get for that?
8.
That felt heavy to me, that 8 games. So I don't know. I mean, it all feels a bit odd at the minute, and I think because of what's going on this season, maybe that plays into it a little bit. I find it kind of ironic that Roy Keane is now kind of, you know, coming out. I mean, I've just seen little bits because it was at the game, but I mean,
he loves
to
wind up, doesn't he?
Are you Roy Keane? You feel like saying that?
They mentioned it, didn't they? I think Neville and Keane mentioned Andy Dersol was the name, and I always remember that one. It was Middlesbrough, where he must have done about 1.5K trying to get away from
him.
Give a penalty. It was incredible. Yeah.
So I mean, he can't be the voice of reason on it, Roy Keane. I think we have to.
I don't think any footballer can.
No, they can't.
They've all done it.
And I think, and obviously Liverpool obviously get after him a little bit at half time. I don't think I noticed it at the time. I didn't really see it play out and stuff. But yeah, it is wild. And obviously he's clearly, I think Robertson's got over to him to say something about whatever's happened, and he's just gone to shrug him. But the way it looks, I mean, he's probably caught him in the chops, hasn't he? With the it's just, you just don't see stuff like that. I mean, you know what? I'm kind of okay with it. You know, before in terms of referees being sometimes a little bit more front foot with players. You know, we mentioned Kalina before, and I used to quite like the way he'd referee and he'd go around and he'd hold his ground and stuff. And I think players respected that. But you probably do draw the line.
You know what? You've got to draw the line somewhere, is what I'd say.
He didn't people's
ball,
elbow
the
anyone.
Ball was
did
nowhere as well. The ball wasn't even in shot, was it? I have that excuse.
Are you genuinely, like, I hate the idea of, oh, now there's going to have to be some long, you know, justice. As I say, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe this stuff does need to happen in this way and all of that. But do you want it to?
I have to feel a little bit for Constantine, even though, like, I just think his name makes it even funnier. I can see this going one or two ways. Like, the first is, like, you know, he's stood down, as I now know is the official term, to the end of the season, probably, and then he comes back and there's a little bit of a hoo-ha and then he cracks on. Or he ends up in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and he takes it like full the other way, and he becomes a personality, you know what I mean, in the WWE.
It's tough to see him at Anfield though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I seen somewhere it was said
that there was a bit of, I can't remember exactly what it was, but someone said somewhere on a Twitter feed that there was a bit of history regarding the Paul Tini stuff.
Spurs game last year was Klopp went on and said to him, I don't have any problems with referees, I can't for you. I mean, madly, Chris Kavanagh was the VAR yesterday, he was the guy who Mitrovic shoved. And Hatzenakis, is it? It was the linesman in that Tottenham game who sent Robertson off.
Right.
So Robertson was sent off later on. I think it was off on the base of a linesman's flag. So maybe there's an element of it's always you.
Or
there's a bit of history. I think you've also got to factor in, we're talking about Anfield being a bear pit. And they're there, you know.
They're humans.
They're experiencing that. You know, like, he might have just had 10 minutes of just solid sort of abuse off the fans, the technical area.
I mean, although Kenny's doing its job, he has.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if he's getting that, and he's just thinking, I want to get to the dressing room, just 15 minutes of clearing the head, and then someone comes there, you can see we've all done things that where you almost as soon as you do it, you go, oh God, you know, like, sorry about that, mate. But it's probably hard for a referee and an official,
especially when he's been pumping iron all week.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I've got to say, he's got a pair of shoulders on him, hasn't he? I agree that I think there's room for sort of a grown up, sort of take your medicine. Okay, next weekend we don't see you. Take you out the firing line, but just quietly come back in Bournemouth or something like that.
And in the meantime, sort it with a phone call.
But it is tough to see. Now, isn't it? The next time he's at Anfield, that becomes a thing. You look at Clattenburg and Everton. It went on for ages, didn't it? Where he couldn't go to Goodison, and then all of a sudden it becomes a thing that, oh, you know, Liverpool or Everton or whoever are picking their officials. But yeah, he's put himself in a bad position.
Harry Kane goes down, by the way.
Tierney's
that was a great tweet from Dave Maddox. He said he's lucky he got the Scotland captain, not the England captain.
Tierney's crap, which just doesn't help. And this is back to the feeling of, it's interesting to me because I think there is a thing around, if we don't think for a second professional footballers at the very highest level don't go, he hates us, in the dressing room before, during and after games, you're kidding yourselves. And I think Liverpool think that Tierney's got a problem with them. Genuinely, I think Liverpool think that, and they think that about a couple of them. This is my thing. People don't like it when I say it. This is why it isn't good that they're all from fucking Greater Manchester on the whole. Because I think that's going around Liverpool's dressing room as well. I think that they're all saying that. Like, we've got another one of these here. As I say, people don't like it when you say that. And I understand why. But fucking hell, there's a lot of them who were bald from Greater Manchester. It does feel disproportionate.
He's a new baldy, isn't he?
He's a new, he's gone for bald. I think he's elected bald.
He's sort of coming, didn't he? I think he's done. I'll just get
this. I've never understood that. He knows
it's coming. I'm surprised.
He knows it's direction of travel for refereeing.
I'm surprised it's a pen. It is a pen, but I'm surprised he gave it.
Yeah.
I thought it was one of them where you'd have to end up going to bar because, you've seen it this weekend. I mean, some of the decisions have been absolutely mad.
We could do without them being crap, is the point. And I know it's dead hard and it's dead fast. Yeah. I really do. I've got loads of sympathy. But the Brighton stuff.
That's the Brighton ones.
There's about three or four
massive decisions that have gone against Brighton. But as I say, Tierney, I think we know he's poor. As I say, I was shocked he gave it, even though it's a definite penalty. It's so clumsy by Holden. But, I mean, we've been on the end of his decisions a number of times now, and you just don't want him anywhere near Liverpool games. That's where it's got to.
I think he only gives that pen because he gets back the changes at half-time. Constantine goes, I've just elbowed him there, you know. He goes, oh, I'm going to have to even this up.
Honestly, I've elbowed a lad. One of them. I elbowed a lad.
Blood,
listen.
Blood on his arm.
We could do this all day because it was a game with everything in it. Just quickly, who's going to win the league?
City.
I've flip-flopped on this, but I think City might just edge you.
I think City won it yesterday.
I'm really intrigued. They, to me, feel a bit... This whole title race actually feels a bit 13-14. And City themselves, because they're not the team that we were up against. They've got Haaland now. Back then, they had Dzeko and Aguero and all that. City, to me, it feels like 13-14, where I think Arsenal are just going to run out of steam. The toddler will stop running down the hill, I think is the situation. Top four's gone. You would think top four's gone.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I don't think Liverpool. I almost think even if they win every game, I don't know if it'll be enough, but I don't think they'll get close to winning every game either.
I think it's gone.
I said I'm all for the Europa Conference, mate. Iron Apple away. Book it now.
You keep saying this, and Phil Blundell keeps saying to me they kick off the games at 6:15. And I think you can't underestimate the kick off the games at 6:15. I know.
On the way.
Honestly, it makes doing the Anfield. That's 8 shows on a Monday, on a Friday. You know what I mean? Ian Nine's coming in at 7:30 to do pretty much warm up on a Friday.
I play Betts football on a Sunday. I don't want Sunday kickoffs. I want as many Saturday 12:30s, 5:30s. I don't want Thursday, Sundays. So I'm
if Liverpool are listening, listen to Neil Jones right now.
Win them all and hopefully everyone else blows up.
Win them all and we'll have a conversation later. It's been absolutely brilliant. It's produced by Ash O'Rourke, it's had Neil Jones, it's had Ian Ryan, it's had Jake Nolan. It's been the Anfield Wrap this week. Download the app, subscribe to all the bits and pieces because it doesn't get better than this, and that's a really weird thing to say. Sports Social Podcast Network.